former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Fun first hour. We appreciate all the guests that joined us in the first hour. We're going to have a fun second hour as well, because in 15 minutes, Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, will be joining us. We'll break down his college football win totals and a conference bet that he likes as well, and get his reaction to the breaking news in college football with Oregon and Washington going to the Big Ten. Then 30 minutes from now, Ian McMillan of BetSided and FanSided will be joining us as well to talk some NFL bets that Ian likes. But joining us right now in his usual spot to start hour number two, it's our buddy Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. And Vinny, we talked about it a little bit in the last segment with Wes Reynolds, that Oregon and Washington now joining the Big Ten. They will be numbers 17 and 18, a part of the Big Ten Conference, now the fifth Pac-12 school to leave the conference in the last 13 months as an odds maker. Because obviously you guys put up futures markets for conference titles, teams to win the national title. Like, how does this kind of change how you guys go about doing that, making odds and numbers for an 18-team conference, which is the largest in college sports?
Big Ten with 18 teams. I don't know. When I was in school, it kind of just didn't. I don't know how that math works. But, it's a fair question. Obviously it's not going to impact us this year. But in thinking ahead off the, real quickly, maybe the first aspect will be, put the games aside. I mean, you make the matchup. You give me the matchups and we'll put up the prices, right? In terms of futures, maybe you put up by division. Within the conference, right? Who's going to win, Division A, Division B, how they're going to name it, East and West right now, right, in the Big Ten. So, do you put up East Division winner, West Division winner, and then team to win the Big Ten conference title game? So I don't think it'll present too many more challenges. I think what it does, though, is obviously, you're looking at games of the year, which we'll get into later, because we're gonna talk about games of the year for this year coming up, and we're gonna put those up this afternoon here. Probably gives you more of an opportunity in that regard. So, it's a byproduct of television revenue, and I think you may see the whole Power Five quote unquote situation is probably going to go away. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a couple of super conferences, but by the same token, guys, let's remember that the playoff is going to expand, right? So there's going to be a bigger playoff element next year as well. So now that gives the Big Ten the opportunity to have a bigger say in that, right? So there are things that we'll look at. Again, it'll start with the matchups. It'll start with the divisions, and then games of the year, and then I think you'll see more play on the college football championship futures than necessarily maybe the conference futures.
Yeah, maybe that opens things up here. And someone once told me when I was younger that money makes the world go around. I think we're seeing that going on today in college sports here. Well, Vinny, before we get to your guys' games of the year, which we were dropping later on this afternoon, let's talk about last night, the Hall of Fame game, NFL back in our lives. I tweeted last night that, hey, it was fun just to get a nice NFL sweat in, to get a good NFL bet going on. But we saw the Hall of Fame game. The Browns beat the Jets. Browns cover the 2-point spread. Game goes over the total. How'd you guys make out?
Yeah, well, listen, we got a lot of Jet money really came in. Remember, they wound up being the favorites in the game. The game was bet over, so kind of a split, kind of a wash for us here. Definitely people enjoyed it. The fact that football is back, albeit, a Hall of Fame game, an exhibition game with, numbers threes and fours playing, but it was something that people wanted to see, and they enjoyed it, so they definitely made it the betting feature of the day, right? No real surprise there, even though it was an exhibition game. What do we do? Now, we just booked the game. We booked the first half. We booked the halftime. A lot quicker line movement, not as high limits and things like that. You did have the cross-sport element. A lot of folks taking last night's Hall of Fame game and playing it to the baseball schedule as well. So You know, what's the takeaway? Look, we knew mainly who was not going to play last night, right? And let's look at why the line moved the way it did. Probably because it looked like the Jets had a little bit more of an advantage in terms of quarterback experience, right? Zach Wilson, a number two overall pick a couple of years ago, and vying for, you know, not a starting spot over Aaron Rodgers, but looking to prove himself, maybe reinvigorate himself. The Mekhi Becton situation where he was going to get extra reps, right? And, you know, try to get himself back into the, you know, the coaching graces. You know, the Jets, with their biggest question mark last night, which was, you know, I think on full display, quite frankly, is their offensive line, trying to sort things out. Browns looked a lot better, especially in the second half. So if you want to look at depth, which was probably the focus of last night's game, you have to say that the Browns came away with it. But certainly a very different game than I think we're going to see in what I think it's week 17, where these two teams will play each other again in Cleveland during the regular season. So we're pleased with the way the public responded to it, and the fact that football's back now, even though it's exhibition for NFL. But we've got just a few weeks before we get college football back, and those games will be for keeps.
Yeah, we're even seeing the Browns get bet in their next preseason game. They were 1.5-point dogs. Now that's a pick 'em against the Washington Commanders. I think maybe the public reacting to what they saw last night with Dorian Thompson-Robinson in the second half. We're speaking with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker. Yep. At the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, you mentioned it, college football a month away. We're going to be playing for keeps, no preseason in college football. But later on this afternoon, you guys are releasing your Game of the Year lines. What can folks look forward to with those Game of the Year lines? And also, how can they go about getting down as much as they want coming up later on this afternoon?
Yeah, you know, this is something that we've typically done for years here at the South Point. Chris Andrews, director here at the South Point, we get to sit down and hammer out some numbers, and you get an early look at your power ratings, right? And so, and how professional bettors in particular react to that. And it'll be mostly professional action today, Femi, at the counter, and certainly on the apps. If you're within, if you have an app, South Point app, and you're within the state of Nevada, you'll be able to play these games as well. Now, in the past, we've put these games up sooner, but we waited this year, frankly, because we wanted to fine-tune our power ratings, and we had to do that because, you know, let's face it, the transfer portal is the big. It's not just the recruiting and the spring games that we have to pay attention to anymore, but post-spring games with the transfer portal. And I guess the greatest example of that is when you look at an Alabama. Who, you know, when you, and you say, well, it's Alabama, aren't they always, you know, so highly rated? Yes, and they'll be highly rated by the pollsters, and certainly in our power ratings. But I think there's a bigger question this year for Alabama than we've seen in recent years, and that is under center. What is the situation under center when Nick Saban goes out and still signs a player, a quarterback? After or right around the time of the spring game, that tells you something, that there's something, maybe a concern on the part of the coaching staff for that position there. You know, Chris and I and Jimmy Vaccaro, we put our numbers together independently, and then we, you know, Chris makes the matchups, and then we compare numbers. Sometimes they're very close. Sometimes they're very different, and that's a good thing. You never want to go down and through these games. Femi and you know, and Chris sits there, Jimmy sits there, and Vinny sits there, and we all come out with the exact same number, right? It's good to get that exercise and to get those different opinions and why those opinions do differ. And then Chris will say, okay, listen, we're going to go with this. You know, somebody's got to be the quarterback to say this is what we're going to start with. So at 1:30 today, you know, a couple of thousand. If you need more, ask, as always, and make your plays. Have at it. And again, it's a valuable tool for us, too, because once we get the plays today by very respected professional betting opinions, then we will go back and say, okay, look, this is how these games were bet. This is, you know, what pros looked at. Do we need to make an adjustment for our power ratings? Don't forget, we do have week one already up. And so... These are going to be independent of what, when the weeks come up, what the games are going to be. So these are separate. You can bet them in advance, and again, gives the pros the ultimate put your money where your mouth is opportunity. And for us, it's good intel to get that respected opinion. So if you like, Femi, I can break a couple of the matchups.
I was going
to
say,
you.
Can you give us a couple appetizers? Because I know it's 1:30 when you're releasing them, but give us some appetizers here for the folks that are looking to get down there.
Yeah, you know, let's get back to, you know, who we've got. Both of us are in agreement. This is one we had an agreement on, an opinion in terms of a power rating. Georgia and Alabama, comparing those two teams in the SEC. We both had Georgia to start with as a six-point favorite if that game, you know, on a neutral field. So our power ratings have Georgia about 6 points better than Alabama, which is a pretty much bigger disparity than we've seen in recent years. So I'll give you a matchup here. Let's go to Georgia in November 18th. Georgia at Tennessee. Georgia looks like there'll be about a 9-point favorite at Tennessee. Tennessee with some adjustments, particularly under center. Georgia we know as well, but certainly a lot stronger. Maybe Georgia's toughest test on their schedule. I'll give you one more because this is the one everybody's probably going to want to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Ohio State and Michigan on November 25th. Michigan at home, a field goal against Ohio State.
Wow, so the Wolverines laying 3 in the game of the year. That'll be the Saturday after Thanksgiving. That's just a little bit of an appetizer of what's to come at the South Point later on today. He is Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame's off-maker over at the South Point. Vinny, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week. Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, joins us next here on The Lombardi Line.
This is The Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is The Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe out here hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Coming up in 15 minutes, Ian McMillan, senior editor over at BetSided and FanSided, will join us. We'll talk some NFL with Ian. But to discuss college football and our college football betting guide, which is out right now, you should get it over at VSiN.com/subscribe. We bring in the host of VSiN Primetime. You can check it out Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern Time, 3 to 6 West Coast Time. It's the one and only Tim Murray, host of our college football betting podcast as well. Tim, hope all is well. We appreciate you joining us here this morning. Before we get into your win totals, I know you have a future in the Big 12 that you like. We got to start with the breaking news in college football. My beloved Washington Huskies, the Oregon Ducks, are headed to the Big Ten to make 18 members in the Big Ten Conference. It doesn't make sense when you say that out loud, but that's just it. It is what it is. Your reaction to the breaking news, and is there any sort of betting takeaway? I've been trying to rack my brain on this. Is there any betting takeaway from all this conference realignment that we've seen over the last 13 months?
Yeah, Oregon State's going scorched earth, baby. I mean, they're just like, you're leaving us? We're winning this damn conference this year. No, I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, you know, you hit on it, and, you know, I know all the financials are kind of being worked out, but it certainly seems like Oregon and Washington, we were joking off air, it feels like they're in a neighborhood that is just like on fire, and they're like, we'll take half. We don't care. Just get us out of this neighborhood. We got to get out. We got to move. So that's what it kind of seems like. I assume the next shoe to drop will be, you know, Arizona and, you know, others to head to the Big 12. So, you know, who knows where Oregon State and Washington State and Cal will ultimately land. But yeah, I mean, from the betting side of things, I don't necessarily think there's much, you know, I think in the Big 12, you know, when you look at Oklahoma and Texas, you know, I felt like there was more of an angle there to, you know, go, you know, those teams are going to get pretty upset, but like, it feels like the Pac-12, everybody's trying to jump ship. So I don't think anybody's mad at each other there. You know, UCLA, USC, and You know, all these teams are trying to roll out. But, no, it's wild. I mean, and I'll say this. Like, there's nothing we could do. There's nothing I could do to stop it. I love this sport. It's my favorite sport to cover. It's my favorite sport to bet. It sucks. I just don't like it. I mean, I like the Pac-12 kind of having that West Coast, you know, footprint, and the Big 12 being in the Southwest and the Big 10 being in the Midwest. But, you know, that's the name of the game. So we'll see what the next, you know, next thing to happen. Florida State's trying to lead the ACC. You know, obviously I'm a Notre Dame fan. I'm very curious to see what they're ultimately going to do as they kind of hang on to independence here and with their agreement with the ACC, Femi. So it's going to be fascinating. You know, I tweeted it out yesterday, and, you know, I, as a Notre Dame fan, you know, I don't know if a lot of people realize this. Notre Dame is actually losing out on money, not being in the Big Ten. If they were in the Big Ten, they'd be making more money than what they do now. So I think they're going to have a long, long discussion and see, you know, what ultimately happens with the Irish there. But no, it's a wild time. And I mean, you know, Oregon and Washington, it looked like weren't going to go. Now they are going to go. So yeah, we will see how this all plays out. But it is come 2024, we'll have a new playoff, Femi, and we're going to have some really interesting conferences in 2024.
Yeah, we were talking about it with Vinny Maiulo in the last segment, saying, hey, maybe this opens up the make the playoff market with the playoff expanding. And
Absolutely.
Now multiple teams out of the Big Ten. Maybe we might get four or five, maybe even six teams from the Big Ten that make the playoff. Who knows?
And here's the interesting thing as of right now, Femi. The rules are this, and I don't know if they'll change. As of right now, the rules state six conference champions are guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff. Okay, so we got the Big 12, the ACC, the Big 10, and the SEC, four champions. We know that'll be in there. Mm-hmm. At-larges obviously will increase for those conferences. But where are we getting the other two teams out of? Are we getting one out of the Mountain West, a watered-down American Athletic Conference, the Sun Belt? I mean, we could get some really unique teams. And what's fascinating, you know, obviously money makes the world go round, Femi, but, you know, Mountain West Media Days was just where you were sitting just a couple weeks ago. I mean, think about Boise State right now. They're probably thinking, okay, we want more money, obviously, but man, the pathway to the playoff next year has started to open up pretty much for us, right? Because there has to be a group of five team in the college football playoff, maybe even two, if the Pac-12 continues to just eat itself, which it's kind of ironic, you know, Femi, because, you know, you've covered this conference and you lived out there for a long time. Mm-hmm. The Pac-12 historically, when it comes to making the playoff, what do? They cannibalize themselves. Well, now they're all jumping ship. They're eating themselves to get out of the damn conference. So, I mean, what does stink, and I hope it doesn't overshadow it, is the Pac-12, I mean, you could probably speak to this better than I can. This might be from, you know, 1 to 6, the best the Pac-12 has ever been. I mean, it is loaded up top this year.
No, 100%. Like, the quarterback play is outrageous. Like those late night Pac-12 after dark games. If you like offense, like this is the conference for you. Like, this electric quarterbacks spread all across the conference, and also the reigning Heisman Trophy winner and Caleb Williams down there at USC. We're hanging out with Tim Murray here, host of VSiN Primetime, also a contributor to the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, which is out now. Make sure you get it if you don't have it already. VSiN, Tim wrote about the Mountain West Conference preview. Check that out in the guide. But you hinted at this earlier, Tim, about Oregon State. Maybe they win the whole damn conference as kind of the FU to everybody else that's leaving here. How high are you on this Beavers team? I know you like their win total. Over.
You know, it's one of those things, and you know, Femi, how I like to bet. I'm more of the contrarian style. Mm-hmm. But right after the season ended, I did a segment on VSiN Primetime. You know, who's going to be next year's TCU? I was just kind of playing into the classic sports talky type of discussion. TCU kind of came out of nowhere, and I said it could be Oregon State because of the talent that they bring back. Now they lost. Their stud linebacker, leading tackler Spates, went to LSU, which is a huge loss for them, and he'll start for LSU. That's a big pickup for the Bayou Bengals. But, you know, this is a team that has kind of been the sexy pick, so to speak, in the conference. There are still some eights out there. I wouldn't necessarily recommend 8.5, even though I do believe they'll get to 9, maybe even 10 wins, Femi. But I'm on over 8 wins, and I'll try to run through it quickly. You know, you've got a stud offensive line. You've got your 3 rushers back. The calling card of Oregon State is to run the football. Damian Martinez is a beast in that backfield, and they have other, you know, Fenwicks back there as well. And then you bring in DJ Uiagalelei. And, you know, you could say whatever you will about DJ, but he's a five-star player, and you've got a quarterback whisperer in Jonathan Smith there up there. You have last year's starter in Go Branson still there. And also, Aiden Childs comes in, who is a highly, highly, highly touted recruit to Oregon State. I think he's a top 70 recruit in the country. So you've got a really interesting quarterback room. And, you know, what they want to do is kind of bread and butter, just ground and pound you. And lastly, look at the schedule. No USC, UCLA, Washington, and Utah all go to Corvallis this year. The Civil War will be in at Oregon, but hopefully we're over the win total by then. I think they're worth a look at a long shot to win this conference and definitely over 8 wins. I am full all in on Jonathan Smith. I think he is a phenomenal coach.
Yeah, to your point on Jonathan Smith, up until last season, Washington was lost offensively. Smith, of course, was the coordinator for the Huskies when they made the playoff back in 2016, and he took the job at his alma mater of Oregon State. And up until they finally hired Kalen DeBoer, Washington had no idea what the hell it was doing on offense. So Jonathan Smith is the real deal. I can definitely speak to that. Tim, we got about a minute left here. I'll ask it simple. Is Texas back?
Texas is back, baby. Joe Tessitore voice. Don't let me down, Texas. If Steve Sarkisian can't win the conference with this roster, Femi, man, he needs to take a long, hard look in the mirror, because this team is loaded every which way you look at it. They even bring in a five-star recruit at running back to try to fill the void of Bijan Robinson, Bijan Johnson, one of the best running back wide receiver cores in the country, one of the best offensive lines in the country, and I think the Big 12 is okay, not great this year, a lot of changeover. If Texas can't win the conference, boy, oh boy, that is quite the indictment of Steve Sarkisian. As I said last night, to channel my inner Taylor Twellman, what are we doing if Texas can't win the Big 12 in 2023?
Real quick here, Tim, any Quinn Ewers Heisman? If Texas wins the Big 12, you would think that Ewers is going to get an invitation to New York.
You know, he cut the mullet off. I mean, he lost the, you know, lost the luster of no mullet there. Yeah. Look, there's a lot of ways you could attack Texas. They play Alabama week two. So I didn't go over the win total. I'd rather take the plus money for them to win the conference. And, you know, real quickly, the reason I went plus 110 to win the conference, which is available at Circa right now, if they get to the Big 12 championship, which would be a disaster if they didn't get there, they will probably be at minimum a 7-point favorite, Femi.
Wow. And then you can definitely go ahead to hedge off and then make a profit and just sit back and enjoy your Saturday morning watching the Big 12 championship game over in Jerry World. He is Tim Murray, about to hop on the jet to go down to Reno, or up to Reno, I should say, to host VSiN in primetime later on tonight. There we go. Primetime's on the road, baby. Check that out later on, 6 to 9 Eastern time, 3 to 6 West Coast. Tim, have fun up there, man. Be well.
All right, Tammy. See you, man.
Awesome stuff. Ian McMillan from BetSide will join us. We'll talk some NFL futures bets on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Who will win the Heisman Trophy? Who will be in the college football Final Four? Which teams will surprise and which teams will disappoint? All of those questions and more can be answered by reading the 2023 VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Detailed team previews, picks, and best bets from our writers, hosts, and DraftKings personalities are just a few clicks away by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. Not only will you get the College Football Betting Guide, but also our NFL Betting Guide and an all-access pass to daily best bets, picks at a glance from VSiN shows, and full viewing of our DraftKings betting splits. Check out the current offers right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Boy, you about to get on that right now. Especially me, someone who loves the NFL. I need the College Football Betting Guide to have any chance this fall to bet the college football season. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out at our VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino. And our next guest is the only person who is brave enough, maybe crazy enough, to bet on all 272 NFL games coming up this fall. It's the one and only Ian McMillan joining us, senior editor at FanSided and BetSided. Ian, we appreciate you joining us as always. Let's start with your favorite team, the Atlanta Falcons. Are you riding with Ritter and the Dirty Birds this season?
Yes, I am. And as you mentioned, I am a Falcons fan, so I'm a little bit biased here. And I think I've bet on them to make the playoffs every single year for the past decade or so. So this is not a unique bet for me, but I think this is the most I've liked this bet since the year after they were in the Super Bowl. We don't need to get to talk about what happened in that Super Bowl, but I really like this Falcons team. Especially since Arthur Smith has taken over. Yes, Desmond Ridder coming into his second year. He started 4 games last year. What I like the most about Desmond Ridder last year is in those 4 games, he improved in each of those 4 games. And he also didn't throw an interception. And I think that part is key because they're not going to ask Desmond Ridder to go out and throw 300, 350 yards and go win the game for them. They have a lot of talent surrounding him. They're obviously going to run the ball a ton with both Tyler Allgeier, who was a rookie last year and ran for 1,000 yards, and now you add in Bijan Robinson into the mix. He just needs to be a game manager, and I think that's exactly what he's good at. Now, what's a reason why I like the Falcons even more is actually their defense, because they have made a lot of really smart moves in the offseason that a lot of people aren't necessarily talking about on the defensive end. They went out and got maybe not huge, you know, all pro Pro Bowl guys, but they went out and got guys who are going to make this defense better. True veterans, guys like Calais Campbell, David Onyemata, Bud Dupree, Jesse Bates. They went out and got some solid defensive vets that's going to really take this defense to the next level. So all right, I'm not going to sit here and argue the Falcons are going to be Super Bowl contenders. But I think making the playoffs in what's going to be a relatively weak NFC, I think they can do that, and you can get that plus money. So I like the Falcons to make the postseason quite a bit this year.
Yeah, I have concerns about Ridder probably more than you, but I at least can see the logic of where you're headed. And I talked about it to start the show. The Saints, I think, are probably the most flawed division favorite that we have in the market right now. So I think definitely trying to attack them is a good way to go ahead and go about it here. Let's talk about the NFC North, though, because a lot of hype around the Detroit Lions over at BetMGM. They are the favorites, plus 130. Who do you like in this NFC North? What's the valuable bet to be making in this division?
Yeah, I think the valuable bet in the NFC North is actually the Vikings, the team that won it last year. Now, the Vikings were kind of a curious case last year because they weren't as good as the record, or at least they didn't perform as good as the record. That they obviously kind of showed that in the first round of the playoffs when they got eliminated by the Giants. But I actually think on paper, I actually think the Vikings kind of were as good as the record. I just think statistically they kind of underperformed, and they made one huge move this offseason that I think is going to really change his Vikings team, and that's bringing in Brian Flores to be their defensive coordinator, who I think might be one of the, if not the best defensive coordinators and just overall coaches in the entire NFL. So the Vikings did, you know, they got rid of Thielen. They brought in Jordan Addison on offense, though. They have the offensive weapons to do it. If their defense can kind of catch up a little bit, and I think they can, bringing in Brian Flores, I think they can win this division. I'm not as high on the Lions as a lot of people. I was just talking about the Vikings defense. Well, the Lions defense, one of the worst, if not the worst defense last year. If for the Lions to live up to their potential and expectations, they need their offense to remain just as good as they were last year, and their defense needs to step up. I have more faith in their offense taking a step back than their defense to take a step forward. So I'm not high on the Lions, and I really don't like the Bears or Packers. So at this price, love the Vikings here to win the NFC North.
Yeah, to your point, you don't typically see a team win 13 regular season games and then the next season go and be plus 280 to win their own division. Like, that's pretty rare, but it goes to show you that I think a lot of people are aggressively looking to fade Minnesota to where it might get to the point to where there's actually a little bit of value to go ahead and back the Purple People Eaters. We're talking with Ian McMillan here, the senior editor over at FanSided and BetSided. Let's go over to the AFC because the big news out of training camp, at least the big scare in training camp, was Joe Burrow being carted off the practice field earlier last week. Now it appears that everything is all good. It's just a calf strain. However, that calf strain might put him in doubt for week number one when they take on the Cleveland Browns. How are you attacking Cincinnati's win total this year?
Yeah, so their win total at 11.5. There are 10.5s out there I've seen. I think 11.5. I'm going to actually take the under on that. I'm kind of not as high on the Bengals as a lot of people are. I think their playoff success has kind of tricked some people into thinking that they are a little bit better than what they are. Now, obviously, they're still a very good team, but number one, their division is very good. I think Baltimore is going to give them a run that division. We'll see what Cleveland and Pittsburgh can do. AFC as a whole might be one of the best overall conferences I've seen over the past, you know, decade or two. So to reach 12 wins, that's a little bit of a stretch for me. Don't forget, I was just talking about the defensive additions that the Falcons added. One of them is Jesse Bates from the Bengals. They lost their two safeties from last year. Jesse Bates and Von Bell went to the Panthers. That's a big issue for a defense that's not exactly a dominant unit. So I'm not as high on the Bengals as a lot of people are. Joe Burrow can certainly carry them to 12 wins if he's healthy at the start of the year, but 11.5, I think it's one game too high. I like the under on that for the Bengals this year.
All right, you're fading Joe Burrow, which everyone says you can't fade Burrow. That's what I hear on the Twitter sphere, at least, or on X, whatever the hell we're calling that website now. Let's get to the NFC East, because this is the division that's near and dear to my heart, being a Dallas Cowboys fan. The Cowboys win total is at 9.5. They are the second choice in the market to win the NFC East. What do you make of America's team this season?
Yeah, I'm shocked, Femi, that it's 9.5. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender, but 9.5 wins seems pretty low for this team, especially this team that has the defense that they have. They have the pass rush that they have. I believe Micah Parsons, the betting favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. I do think they underperformed last year, especially offensively. Dak Prescott threw a lot of interceptions. But I think that was just more of a little bit of a down year for Dak. They brought in Brandon Cooks on offense. I think Dak can have a little bit of a bounce back year. And as I mentioned, the NFC as a whole, fairly weak. So for the Cowboys, win total at 9.5 seems pretty low for me. I don't think it's too much to ask them to reach at least 10 wins this year. So unless I'm missing something with this Cowboys team, and once again, I don't know if I can buy in on them to win the NFC or go to the Super Bowl, but we're just talking win totals, 9.5. I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, I think it's just mainly just basic Mike McCarthy pessimism. Yes. Like, I think the market and even just casual sports fans as well, like, they see Mike McCarthy, they're like, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing and all that. And like, yeah, maybe for the playoffs, that's a whole nother conversation. But for the regular season, to your point, it's like, all right, well, in the regular season, he's won a lot of games. And ever since Dak Prescott has been healthy, because his first season, Dak Prescott like snaps his ankle in half and they go, I think, 6-10 or whatever it was. But when he's had Dak healthy, they've won 12 games each of those past 2 years. So I'm picking up with what you're putting down as well, with the Dallas Cowboys going over that 9.5 win total. Ian, we got about 90 seconds left here. The last one I want to get to. I love this because I love betting on awards. You are looking to attack the MVP market. Which quarterback are you going with?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts. I'm shocked that his odds are what they are. Pretty long odds for a guy who finished second in MVP voting last year. Not only that, the quarterbacks who are kind of ranked ahead of him. Coming in around 11-1, Jalen Hurts. Quarterbacks ranked ahead of him, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. All these guys play in that extremely difficult AFC conference. Mm. The Eagles, even though they are the defending number one seed in the NFC, actually have a relatively easy schedule. I believe they have a top 10 easy schedule in the NFL, or at least top half of the NFL in terms of easy schedules when you look at their opponents' projected win totals. So this Eagles team, relatively easy schedule. Jalen Hurts, I mean, I'm not going to put it past him to improve again, another step forward this year after just last year being the runner-up for the MVP to get 11-1 odds. I love it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Eagles' schedule right now. They're probably going to be favored, or at least a pick 'em, in every game except for Week 11 at Kansas City. That's that Monday night game. Both teams are coming off of the bye. They'll be underdogs in that one at Arrowhead, as long as everybody's healthy. But other than that, probably going to be a favorite. Maybe a pick 'em at Dallas, or maybe at worst case scenario, a slight underdog, but never an underdog of 3 points or so. But he is Ian McMillan, senior editor over at FanSided and BetSided. Ian, good luck with all the bets. I love it, man. We'll have to talk soon, and good luck with the road to 272.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You take care.
272 bets on NFL games. That's all. Every single NFL game. Ian said he's going to go ahead and do it. God bless the man. Much braver than I am. I'd rather be a little bit more selective on how I take the NFL betting action. But speaking of selective, I will outline on the other side some Week 1 games that I already have my eye on. We're about a month away from the regular season, folks. We got to start planning right now. We'll wrap up the show. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Use a BetMGM bonus bet to place your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bet, simply log into your BetMGM account today to bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet on any game to your bet slip and activate your bonus bet. There is no deposit or additional wager required. 72 hours to log in to claim and to use the bonus bet after you log in. This bonus bet is just on the house. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Promotion may differ per customer. 21 plus to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in most states. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Fun show, fun 2 hours that we've had here. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, of course, putting together a great show for us here on this Friday morning. Thank you to our guests that we had on the program. It was a parade of guests here as we've been flying solo on this Femi Friday, so we appreciate each and every one of them. Mike Pritchard, VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the NFL, national title winner with the Colorado Buffs in the early 90s. Thank you to Zach Cohen, VSiN writer, contributor to the College Football Betting Guide. Also, thank you to Wes Reynolds, VSiN host of VSiN Tonight. That is 6 to 9 West Coast time, 9 to midnight Eastern time. Also a contributor to the College Football Betting Guide. Thank you to Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Thank you to Ian McMillan, senior editor over at FanSided and BetSided. And then thank you to Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, as well as a contributor to our College Football Betting Guide and host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Get that wherever you get your podcasts. All right, before we continue further, let's get to our pro tip for the day. And this will kind of set the table for this last segment on the show. And this one pertains to week one and really kind of early in the season. Because right now in the NFL market, I think even the smartest people out there in the market, we're all making educated guesses on how teams will do based on offseason acquisitions and recent history. So because we're making educated guesses, in week one, I would just say tread carefully in laying too many points and betting some of these big favorites, because when there's a lot of uncertainty, you might as well go ahead, if you're going to make some bets, grab some points and get a little bit of value there and have some cushion just based on we don't really know who's great and who's bad. I mean, we see it every single year. Week one upsets year after year after year. And then afterwards, we all act crazy. I mean, who could have seen the Chicago Bears beating the 49ers last year? Week one just tends to kind of behave in a weird way. So I would just kind of tread carefully laying a lot of points in the opening week of the NFL season. So with that being said, I wanted to highlight some of the interesting games, in my opinion, on the week one slate from a betting perspective. Now, this one actually might kind of go contradictory to what I just said about tread carefully with laying points, but we have seen some movement with the opening night game, which is about a month from now between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. The consensus line is still Chiefs 7-point favorites, total of 54. However, where I'm sitting at the Circa Resort and Casino and at other sports books as well, we're seeing some Lions money coming into the market. People taking Detroit plus the 7. And in fact, at Circa, we are now down to the Chiefs laying 6.5. And it's not juice. It's 6.5 minus 110. And that is also elsewhere in the market. So interest coming in on the Lions. I just said I don't like to lay a lot of points. However, a man's got to have code. And if you're going to put a bad defense against Patrick Mahomes at home, laying less than a touchdown is appetizing. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go ahead and run and do it. We'll see where this line ends up going. My guess is we close around here 6.5 or 7. We probably do this dance all the way up until kickoff on September, I believe it's September 9th or September 8th, whatever day it is the opening day of the season. September 7th, actually. Nailed it. Until then, but I thought it was rather interesting to point that out. It's not a game that I look to bet right now, but I think it's interesting seeing something move off of a key number. So if you like the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe wait and see where this goes. If you like Detroit, gobble up one of those sevens because it looks like they're going to be going away sooner rather than later. But a game that I do have a lot of interest in actually betting is the NFC South Showdown. This will be September 10th, week one, Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. We had Ian McMillan on, Falcons fan. He says he loves the Falcons. They made upgrades on defense. I hear him, but I still think Carolina is the better team. And if you're going to give me the better team with the better head coach, in my opinion, and Frank Reich, he's more proven than Arthur Smith, at least up until this point. I mean, I'm honestly going to say it. I know we've never seen Bryce Young play an NFL snap, but I think he's a better quarterback than Desmond Ridder. So I get the better team, the better coach, the better quarterback, and I'm getting points. And it looks like I might even get 3 in the hook. Like, people love the Atlanta Falcons. Ian is not alone. The Atlanta Falcons are a popular team that a lot of folks like to be that kind of dark horse in the NFC South. If we get to 3.5, my goodness, the Carolina, I think, would be my biggest bet of the week one slate here, because I would love Carolina, even though it's a rookie quarterback making his first start on the road. Like, that's typically a bet against situation, but I think that's so baked into the line, and there's just way too much Falcons optimism here for me at least, I got to see it to believe it. I would like to back Carolina in that spot, but I'm going to go ahead and wait because we might get a 3.5 at some point between now and kickoff on September 10th. The next game that I want to discuss is over in the AFC South. So we go from NFC South to AFC South, this one being the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts. And I thought the point that Pritch brought up earlier in the first hour is really key here. And he was basically saying how Anthony Richardson early in his career is going to be difficult for defenses to prepare for, not because they've never seen a mobile quarterback, but they just don't know how Shane Steichen will use him. Now we have a little bit of an idea based on Steichen being the offensive coordinator with the Eagles last season and what he did with Jalen Hurts, but maybe he has some tricks up his sleeve or has some other wrinkles that he wants to use with Anthony Richardson, since this was the hand-picked quarterback by Ballard and Steichen with the fourth overall selection earlier this spring. So I think Indianapolis getting more than a field goal in a division game, because these division home underdogs are incredibly valuable early on in the season, because division games, there's a lot of familiarity, there's rivalries, these teams don't like each other, like, and they just tend to be much more competitive games than we think on the surface. So if I was to play this, and I'm really interested in actually playing Indianapolis, the rookie quarterback news, a little bit scary, but I think that we got to play into that uncertainty to where 3.5 could be very valuable. And honestly, Richardson being the quarterback in this game, I think Indianapolis is more likely to win this game than the market indicates. Now, they're also more likely to get blown out because it's a rookie quarterback and he might just stink up the joint. But I think that their win probability actually goes up because the Jacksonville Jaguars have never seen Anthony Richardson. And also, he has a lot of high upside with the talent that he had coming out of Florida. So Jacksonville as a 3.5-point favorite, I don't like that. If anything, I back Indy in that spot as the home division dog. The next game that I think is really interesting, and this one is going to stink out loud, but I think it's just a play that you got to do, is Tampa Bay getting almost a touchdown in Minnesota. So right now, the Bucs are 6.5-point underdogs in the Twin Cities against the Vikings. This was 7 earlier this offseason at some shops, and I wish I got one of those 7s, but I felt that, hey, maybe there'll be enough pessimism for Tampa to where maybe we get a 7.5. Clearly, people out there in the market are thinking what I was thinking, because I'm looking to fade Minnesota. Like, I'll say it right now. I'm looking to fade the Vikings after what we saw last season. I mean, they were, I think, 9-0 or 10-0 in one-score games a year ago. Like, that is unprecedented amount of success in one-score games. And the Vikings just came up aces last year, and they won 13 games because of it, despite having a negative point differential. Like, that's just crazy to happen. We've never seen that happen in the NFL. So I'm looking to fade this team because I don't think this is a team that can win by margin. And to cover 6.5 or 7, you have to win by margin. And while Tampa's quarterback situation is not ideal, they do have some talented veterans on that roster. And in week 1, those guys are going to play hard because everyone's optimistic heading into week 1. I think you want to fade Tampa once we get a few weeks into the season when the reality sets in that they're a bad team. That's like, all right, guys, what the hell are we doing here? That's when you want to fade them. But early on, there's enough optimism. Everyone's excited. It's a new beginning. Turn the new calendar over. I think Tampa's going to come out and play hard. Mike Evans is still on that roster. Chris Godwin is still on that roster. They have Shaq Barrett, Vita Vea, Carlton Davis. Like, there's Antoine Winfield Jr. Like, there's a lot of talented veterans. The quarterback situation is just not ideal, which is why you're getting 6.5. But I think those 6.5 points could be valuable against a Vikings team that doesn't really blow teams out, at least what we saw last year. The next one, Niners at the Steelers. This is a classic Tomlin spot. Not a whole lot of explanation that's needed. I think the line being 3 is fine, but just intuitively, I just would just like to play Pittsburgh in this game. Tomlin gets his guys up whenever they're an underdog, especially at home. And I think we're going to see Pittsburgh actually take that next step. They've gotten much better throughout this offseason. This, to me, honestly feels like it could be a 50-50 sort of deal. So if it's a 50-50 proposition, I'll go ahead and grab the field goal with a team that's coached by Mike Tomlin, the ultimate motivator in this spot. And also, Kenny Pickett, maybe he's the best quarterback in this game. We'll see. I know Brock Purdy's going to come out there and play, but Purdy obviously coming off the elbow surgery. And then the last game that I wanted to hit is one that's near and dear to my heart. And I like this team heading into the season. I think Dallas is going to win the NFC East, but week 1 is weirdo week. Weird stuff happens. Tomfoolery happens. And I think the New York Giants over at DraftKings, they're a 3-point favorite. But if you look at some shops, they're 3.5-point dogs there. So I think the Giants catching 3.5 at home against the Cowboys is a valuable bet. This to me feels like a field goal game either way. So if you're going to give me 3.5 with a really good head coach in Brian Daboll, who is a really good underdog kind of coach, I would go ahead and take those points. So those are week 1 games that I'm monitoring right now. I have not made bets in any of them, but they're ones that I have circled and I have an eye on as we approach week 1 in about a month. All right, that does it for the show here. on the Lombardi Line. It was a lot of fun. Thank you once again to all of our guests. Thank you to our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the glass. We wish you all the best of luck heading into the weekend. It'll be me and Michael Lombardi back in the saddle tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 West Coast time, 10 to noon Eastern. We will see you guys then. Coming up next, VSiN Bets here on the Sports Betting Network.